right, Vinny, we talked about the New Orleans Saints in the city of New Orleans, and get over it. What?
Nothing.
Because I'm driving today, right? Watch yourself. Sean McVay.
I have no problem with you driving.
Yeah, right. You know.
He's good at it. You know.
I've been drinking.
Right, exactly.
You're not here, Vince, Dan does drive pretty much.
Yeah, he does. Which is why you talk more when Vinny isn't here. Because I
like that
draw
he said, yeah,
in.
He does.
Right.
Yeah, he does. Yes, Dan Bickley does talk more.
The second, what person? Second person? Third person?
Sean McVay turned 33 years of age yesterday.
I didn't get him anything.
No, neither did I. You probably don't need to. Okay? So here are the six most impressive stats that were written about Sean McVay to celebrate his 33rd birthday.
Oh, no, not another list. Hold on, let me take those keys back.
The 26 wins that Sean McVay has had, okay, are more than the Rams had the previous 4 years without him. Okay?
That's
not bad.
Very impressive.
Pretty good. 26-9 when they were 24-40 before.
When Jeff Fisher, who knows what he's doing, is the bar.
I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You're begging for a job.
All right. Sean McVay is the youngest coach ever to reach the Super Bowl. He's 8 years younger than the opposing quarterback and half the age of the opposing head coach. Bill Belichick is 66. Tom Brady's 41.
That's crazy.
That's really nuts. Sean McVay has got an 8-0 record against AFC opponents.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
This list is way better than the last one you unveiled.
He played the AFC West this season. Okay, thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad you like this one. And the AFC South last year.
Where'd this one come from?
USA Today.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't say mental floss at the top.
Yeah, right. He is the first Rams head coach to win back-to-back NFC West titles since 1979. The first NFC team to sweep the division since 2011.
Go back to the 1979 one. What was that?
The first Rams coach to win back-to-back NFC West titles since 1979.
Okay.
First NFC team to sweep the division since 2011.
Wow.
And their two playoff wins under Sean McVay are more than the Rams had from 2003 to 2017. That's all good stuff for Sean McVay. I do think the Patriots Saints would have been a very good Super Bowl, but I think there would be just a lot of jerk face press conferences between Sean Payton and Bill Belichick. Two of the top four coaches in the NFL, but not exactly copy media friendly. You know what I mean? I think Sean McVay is going to bring a lot of interesting stuff to this, and I think it's going to partially reflect well on, well, I won't say reflect well. It will keep the Cardinals more relevant to the Super Bowl because they loosely followed the Sean McVay prototype to get their head coach. For what that's worth, I don't know if that's worth anything.
Here was Sean McVay earlier this week talking about his opponent going into the Super Bowl a week from Sunday, the New England Patriots.
It's an incredible opportunity for us to compete against them. Our players have earned the right to be able to play in this game. Our coaches have done a great job, and really it's about the Rams versus the Patriots, doing an excellent job with that. But to get a chance to go against a team and an organization like this is something that we're excited about, but you have a lot of respect for them.
I mean, that's one of the things I think that might be undervalued when it comes to Sean McVay, and a lot of that would be because of the success that he's had, but to be such a young head coach, just turning 33, third year now on the job, by the way.
Okay.
How polished he is in not just the play calling and the X's and O's, where he's really impressive, to be able to devise that system of success and communication that he's had with Jared Goff over the past couple years. But yeah, and just in settings like dealing with the media and those press conferences that become such a bother, and they got to be a pain for head coaches everywhere. Just the frequency with which you talk to the media. He's pretty consistent in those, and he's pretty, you know, pretty informative.
He's a guy that will
attract your attention when he's talking because of the way he handles that and the message that he has to share.
Now, here's something.
It's pretty rare, especially for a guy that age.
I agree. Here's something else that I think about this Super Bowl. We saw in New Orleans how the crowd noise in that dome really threw off that special weapon that is Sean McVay's vision into Jared Goff's headset, right?
Mm-hmm.
That won't be the case in the Super Bowl. It will be played in a dome, but these are not partisan crowds. They're not even bipartisan crowds. These are just aggregate of sponsor, businessmen, football fans. There's no real push of energy for one team or the other in a Super Bowl crowd. That's what I've learned over the years.
I think there will be a little bit of a push here. And for the most part, every year you're right, but the Rams, we've talked about their lack of a strong fan base in Los Angeles at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to have much of a national following, mm-hmm. even though they're from a big city, but they've only been there for a few years. I just don't see a big Rams swell of fan support in Atlanta for that game. New England fans, they'll be marginalized by the formula that you just gave, the corporate sponsors, and it is very much a corporate event at this point. But there'll be a Patriots presence there, certainly. Mm-hmm. More so than the Rams, I think. We shall see.
Okay. Yeah. And then, well, think about this, though. The game is in Atlanta. L.A. fans aren't going to go down. L.A. fans are not like that.
Look, I know it was one video from one establishment in L.A., but Barstool Sports put out a video of somebody filming a group of people watching the game on a TV at a bar in Los mm-hmm. Angeles. And the field goal went through. There's like four people on camera. None of them clap. You could hear a smattering of applause from behind them.
Yeah.
I said, wow. So that's why the NFL was so hell-bent on getting a team back to L.A. because this support is rabid. Yeah, one example, but that's kind of the perception right now of the mm-hmm. Rams fan base. That will change. If they win this game, which I don't think they will, if they win this game next Sunday, it's going to be the Dodger fan base, it's going to be the Laker fan base, and it's going to be the Rams fan base.
I know that. In a way, we talk about the Super Bowl hangover that affects most teams not named New England. That is something that I think I'm going to take solace in because it is real. Now, we even saw it with Philadelphia. It took them a long time to even resemble a playoff team. There's something about playing in that game that takes first-timers, takes a lot out of you, especially if you lose the game. Mm-hmm. So maybe that will make things difficult for the Rams to repeat. That kind of counters that whole, uh-oh, dynasty in the making, which I don't necessarily buy in the first place because I don't think Jared Goff will ever approach anything near Tom Brady. I like him as a quarterback, but I think he's even more system quarterback than Tom Brady is. So that's my opinion on it.
Okay. We'll have a whole week to really dive into the game and, you know, the prop bets mm-hmm. and all of the storylines as they start to develop from Atlanta. But at this early stage of it, more than a week out, part of my routine in the morning is, you know, when the alarm goes off, I'll hit the snooze bar a few times, but I'll also hit the television remote and turn that on. It's usually on ESPN, so Get Up's on about that time.
Mm-hmm.
A segment on
Welcome to Get Up. Here we go this morning. How is everybody doing?
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again with the Groucho Marx stuff.
The Vlasic pickle guy. They had a segment, and it was Mike Greenberg who was kind of, you know, moderating the segment between Bobby Carpenter and Damian Woody, and it was over under. And every answer both of these guys gave was over under on Todd Gurley rushing yards. Oh, I'm taking the under, even though it was a low number. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be able to run the football. Over under 100 yards for Sony Michel. Oh, we'll take the over. I think they're going to be able to continue their success. Everything they pointed to on this over and under segment, and yes, it's only two guys' opinions, but pointed to a decisive New England Patriots victory.
I kind of feel the same way. I think that even though I trust Sean McVay and his brain power and his game planning ability, man, this is the Super Bowl, and it takes some teams a long time to catch their breath and find their footing. I just see that happening to L.A. You know what I mean? We saw what they just did to Kansas City. And if Bill Belichick did that to Patrick Mahomes in that offense, I think he's going to have a real good handle on this offense, too. Yeah, I see the same thing. I do not see the teams that jump up and bite the Patriots are not teams like the Chiefs and the Rams and high-scoring opponents. They're kind of the rough-and-tumble teams. The Eagles, the Giants, the Seahawks, that kind of stuff.
The teams they lost to this year, Jacksonville, bad loss, as it turns out. Detroit. You know, the Patriots had two-game losing streaks this year. They lost in November to Tennessee, got blown out by 24, but not a team known for their offense. They lost that wild game against Miami on the fluky play to end the game.
Yep.
And then the next week, Pittsburgh completely shut them down, 17-10. They couldn't get over the hump in Pittsburgh either.
That's right.
But since that point, that was in our discussion with Greg Bedard from earlier, and he agreed with us that the whole "we're the underdogs, we suck, nobody respects us" thing is ridiculous. But that's when it hit, you know, coming out of that Pittsburgh game with two regular season games left. They destroyed Buffalo, they destroyed the Jets. I think they've been more impressive in the playoffs than the Rams have been. They've handled their business quite nicely since that last loss of the season to Pittsburgh.
Now, what I think is going to be interesting, Vinny, if the Patriots win, and we're going to have a lot of time to talk about this next week, but if the Patriots win this game, it's going to be insufferable. The whole Patriot vindication, people counted us out, that thing is going to be insufferable.
Any more insufferable than what they've done in the past?
Maybe, because I think they're going to go over the top with it. I think they already have. That's why I was glad to hear Greg Bedard say, no, all that stuff was real. I mean, they can say anything they want now, but all that stuff was real.
It's a pretty common refrain, and we just went through this last year with Philadelphia. Nobody gave us a chance. I'm having flashbacks to Jason Kelsey in the Mummer outfit. Nobody gave us a chance. Yeah, your quarterback blew his knee out at a crucial point in the season. Of course nobody gave you a chance. Good on you for overcoming that.
Well, let me say this. You did pick them to the Super Bowl, right, Vince?
Yeah, from the beginning of the
From
year.
The beginning.
Not to toot my own horn.
But Dan, you did not pick them to go to the Super Bowl before the season.
I had the Steelers and the Vikings.
And then how about when the playoffs started?
I don't.
Also probably didn't, right?
He still had the Steelers and the Vikings.
Yeah, I did.
He showed the same defiance in changing his playoff picks as he did changing his starting quarterback in fantasy football.
Yeah, I didn't do either.
So it's not like that. It's so ridiculous. Of all the years, I feel like this was one of the years where they weren't the overwhelming favorites. So while they say they're the underdogs and this, that, and the other is a little ridiculous and infuriating, it's not like it's coming completely out of nowhere. Because this isn't one of those years where the Patriots were the shoe-in for the Super Bowl, despite what you predicted.
Yeah, it's a credit to them that 11 wins is thought of to be a down year for them. I mean, that's the level of excellence that they've achieved.
It's insane, isn't it, when you think about that? And the fact that this is Super Bowl number 9 that they've participated in since 2001.
But we talk about this at this point with the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
At what point does the boredom set in? And maybe that's what this stems from with New England. Here we are again. We've been here a million times. A lot of these guys have a ton of Super Bowl experience. But we weren't favored. Let's play this up because we're bored. That's probably at the heart of a lot of it.
Yeah, though. No, I know. I just, like I said, I reacted negatively to that thing that Tom Brady posted when they were walking after the game. It was just way too, I don't even know how to describe it. It just
wasn't.
No, it just wasn't dignified. It was way too condescending for my taste. And if you're Tom Brady and you're 41, haven't you seen everything by now? Haven't you seen and heard people disrespect you and count you out? Just do what you do. And they're going to play this thing up to the point where they're going to, as a result, make it seem as if all the speculation of dysfunction and all of that didn't even exist. It did. It did exist. And I'm really glad that Greg Bedard said so, because I think that's important. And so, but it's going to create this I told you so mentality. See, shouldn't have counted this out. Well, no, people were reacting in real time to real dysfunction being reported by really good media members. So we'll see how it
goes.
Well,
I mean, it just whatever the motivation is. From the outside, it's a turnoff, certainly. Whatever they need to get motivated at this point to do what they do, that's up to them. And we can judge how we will from the outside. Join Burns and Gambo starting at 2 p.m. live from Fry's Marketplace, Bell Road and 14th Street in North Phoenix. They'll be on site with Francis Ford Coppola Winery, who are giving you the chance to win tickets to the Basketball Territorial Cup. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. I want to let you know about an event that's going on this weekend in the Valley. It is the 14th annual Umps Care Charities Golf Classic at Legacy Golf Resort. Happening tomorrow, proceeds allow baseball umpires to provide behind-the-scenes ticket experiences to at-risk youth, critically ill children, and military families at MLB ballparks. They make hospital visits, provide college scholarships. Really good cause. The president of the Umps Care Charities is Gary Darling, former Major League Baseball umpire.
Long time up, yep.
And he joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Gary, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing today?
All right, so Gary, so the fact that this Umps Care charity does all this stuff, is it to infer that Umps are actually human beings with hearts?
That is exact. That's part of our logo.
Is that? I didn't know. I mean, people didn't know that, Gary.
We have hearts.
Yeah, right. I'm being facetious, of course.
Oh, I know you are. All officials. I mean, we're all people just like everybody else, trying to make a living either doing a radio show or umpiring baseball games.
All right. The reason why we wanted to have you on, aside from give a nod to this great thing that you guys do here in the Valley, this is part of the current climate. Intolerance with umpires, officials, NBA officials, NFL officials. You're well aware of the controversy that came out of New Orleans in the NFC Championship game. How would you describe the climate for modern day officiating, regardless of what sport you're talking about?
You know, it's probably worse than in the amateur levels. You know, we're good with Umps Care, where you start a new program, there are four corners where we're dealing with amateur umpires. And you see all over social media how there's a shortage of those just because of the abuse by parents and coaches at that level. You know, at the professional level, the media gets crazy sometimes. You don't want to pick on a call, this call or that call, but you know, it's sports are, you know, it's not a perfect world, you know, trying to get every call right. And obviously the players don't make every play right either. So, I think, over the years, maybe just more with social media, like everything else, there's a little more scrutiny than there used to be, but I think the job's still basically the same.
Yeah, your career was interesting in that you started as a major league umpire in '88 and you retired in 2013. So you experienced social media life and life without social media. How much worse did the scrutiny become when social media popped up, or was that even on your radar, Gary?
I try not to think about it as far as, when as an acting umpire, I was never on social media. I mean, I didn't have Facebook or any of that kind of stuff. I got on that once I got out and started with, I'm scared. You got to kind of do that stuff a little bit. But, everybody's a reporter. You know, you guys are almost obsolete. Everybody's a reporter now. Everybody's got a camera. Everybody's a photographer. Everybody's writing blogs. Everybody's got their opinion. And half people don't know which ones are the professionals, like Dan and Vince or Joe and Schmo,
Right.
And everybody somebody prints something. You talk about fake news. I mean, it gets over-scrutinized, I think. But, it's just part of the job as a professional athlete, professional, umpire, or, anything really, anything in life is more scrutinized these days.
Yeah. Gary Darling, former Major League Baseball umpire, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. And I know it's not baseball, but the sports world is still buzzing on what happened in New Orleans on Sunday with the missed call at a crucial juncture of the NFC Championship game. Just as a fellow official at a high level, I mean, what are your thoughts on what's been going on, the NFL's involvement or lack thereof? Do you have thoughts on all that, Gary?
I don't think the NFL could do anything more than just try and, work with the guys, get them in positions and just see the play. You know, I was watching the game when it happened live. I said, boy, that was kind of close. But then depending on what angle you show it from, it makes it look like you missed it by 20 feet,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you're looking above, the ball goes by just about, it definitely was pass interference. I don't think anybody would ever argue that. But it's like the Jimmy Joyce play back with Andres Galarraga, the perfect game.
Yeah.
You know, you watch that play in full speed. You know, it's relatively. And did he miss it? Yeah, Jimmy missed it. He was the first one it's the kind of guy that he was. But, when you slow everything down, now everything becomes even more glowing of a miss.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's kind of what replays for. So you want to, you don't want to have those. You don't want to have those kind of plays on your resume, on your Wikipedia or whatever. But, that's kind of part of it. And, in our sport, if that was one of us, the personal name would be out there more than whoever the side judge or back
that's
judge
true.
Or whoever it was that had to.
Yeah.
Man, that Joe West is the worst, man. That's what they'd be doing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're right about
Joe
that.
Joe West is one of the best ones we got, too. But, everybody likes to beat up on Joe. He's just he's a solid umpire, has been for a long time.
That's outstanding. Now, I want to ask you about this, because with Major League umpires, you know where this argument goes. Instant replay now has kind of increased the intolerance for the human error, which used to be embraced in sports. As it relates to the home plate umpire, a lot of people now are talking for automated strike zones. Your thoughts on where that's going? Because this instant replay, you're right, this is a monster. Because it's feeding perceptions, it's making jobs very difficult for these arbiters of sports games.
Well, we knew it was Pandora's box when it started. I mean, it started just with boundary calls. And then they thought, maybe we should do replay on fair or foul. Well, they did a study for a year, and they weren't going to spend $10 million or whatever the number might be to fix three or four fair foul calls. So then they expanded it to now it's plays at first base and catches in the outfield and the whole nine yards. When you talk the balls and strikes side of it, I did it my whole adult life from 1980 in the minor leagues to my last year 2013. I'm watching a game of baseball and they put that little red dot up on the screen saying where the ball or strike was. I'm still not sure where that part of the pitch is.
Yeah.
Because balls and strikes, it's not an exact science. It's not a one-dimensional thing. It's more than three-dimensional. I mean, it's the whole path of the ball as it comes through the strike zone. So do I think that they'll have replay on balls and strikes? Again, I think it'd probably be stupid to say never, but, it's just not an exact science. There was, there was a situation a couple of years ago when a guy called out and he ended up ejecting David Ortiz. There's a good fastball, comes in at the knees, calls it a strike. Ortiz didn't like it. Now a curveball. No, I think I had the pitches backwards. A curveball came in that looked like it about bounced. Ortiz didn't like the pitch. Gets back in there. Now a good knee pitch comes in, and he gets called on strikes. Well, he goes absolutely bonkers on it. They went back and looked at the Z zone, the Quest Tech, or whatever new system they're using. They had the curveball that almost bounced a strike. And the good fastball at the knees was a ball. See, that's the problem with the computer calling balls and strikes, because it's, is it the front of the plate, at the back of the plate where the catcher catches it? It's the whole path of the pitch that makes it a ball or a strike. It's not just one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, good stuff.
That's what, I don't know if that's too long of an explanation,
no.
But it's not an exact science, and it never will be. And if they try and use the machine to do it, you're still going to have as many disagreements on the machine, because
yeah.
It has to get calibrated. There's just all kinds of things happen. They lose pitches in the computer. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, Gary, great stuff. Wanted to wish you luck with the Umps Care Charities Golf Tournament. Wanted to remind our it's a cool thing that you guys are doing, and you can donate at umpscare.com. I think we're going to definitely bug you again when baseball season rolls around, because we want to expand on a lot
Let's
of the thoughts
that.
You gave us. Is that
Let's
cool?
Let's do that.
I'd love to. And we also, just to throw another little plug for Umps Care, we have our tournament tomorrow, but we have different fundraisers through the year. And one of them is once the season starts in late April, we have an online auction where we have all kinds of unique baseball experiences and
cool.
People can
right.
pay to go to lunch with Joe West if they want.
There you go. We'll circle back to you before that online auction, and we'll get back in touch with you then. How about that, Gary?
That'd be great. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
And thanks for plugging UmpsCare for us. Appreciate
no problem. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Gary Darling, former Major League umpire. Again, UmpsCare.com for information on the golf tournament and all the other fundraisers they have on the calendar. Coming up next, Friday 1:30, Sports Kebab time. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on ArizonaSports.com. Do the Suns need to trade for a point guard before the deadline? Wait, that's the same one as yesterday. Pretty much the same results as yesterday, too. If you're interested, you can cast a vote. If not, no skin off my nose. We'll have a new Sanderson Ford poll question up soon at ArizonaSports.com.
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
Oh, Jarrett, we missed you last Friday. Well, some of us did. But anyway, welcome back. You've got 2 weeks of material to work with now.
Do you want to hear a two-week-old joke? I don't have any of those.
Okay, good.
So they're all new. This is the Sports Kebab. Brought to you by Paradise Ridge Dentistry. We don't just inject Novocaine, we inject fun. Text TOOTH to 620-620 to find out more about Paradise Ridge Dentistry. And, you know, I hate being disappointed to start these things, but we had our big State of the Stations meeting here this morning. We were all at it. And every time they give out a big award for the employee of the quarter.
Uh-huh.
They give out a prize. They go up. They give out a little plaque or trophy or something. Once again, I did not win. Okay? I do not get it. Okay? I pour my heart, my soul, my tears, my sweat, my blood, my urine, my feces. You know what? Actually, no, I'm kind of disgusting. Now I see why I didn't win.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, sure. No, but seriously, I've been here for many, many years. You'd think one time I would have won. At least once. I mean, I put a ton into my craft. I'm always looking to improve. You know this about me. Day by day. As you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist, okay? And
look, sports new.
sorry, Bob.
Well done.
That was a mistake. Anyway, maybe next time. Because I could have used some good news, you know? I had a rough morning. This morning.
What happened?
Well, my neighbor, Roger.
How rough was it?
Not as bad as Vinny's from 8:30 on.
No. Even this is before that. Before I came to work, I woke up and I saw my neighbor, Roger, getting dragged from his house by the FBI. Unbelievable. Well, not... Okay, it wasn't Roger Stone, though. It was just a guy named Roger who was busted for cooking meth and illegally burning Fast and Furious DVDs. But they take that stuff seriously. Of course, what I'm referencing is former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson / Chad Ochocinco tweeting that he saw Roger Stone get arrested by the FBI this morning. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Not that he was arrested, but that Chad Johnson saved enough money to still live in the neighborhood with Roger Stone.
Or that, well, it's your sports kebab. I shouldn't be chiming
in. That's all right.
But the fact that he was awake at a pre-dawn raid, what's Ochocinco doing?
Absolutely. That was weird. I mean, seriously, even Tony Romo didn't see that one coming. How about that Tony Romo, huh? People love his ability to predict plays while commentating, but I find it annoying. You're an analyst, okay? Tell me why something happened. Break down the play. I don't need you predicting stuff. I bet when Tony Romo is in a horror movie, instead of gasping or laughing or yelling after a fright, he's the guy that yells at the screen, "Don't go in there! Jason's going to kill you!" Seriously, his predicting is getting out of hand, okay? I went to Payway last night and it turned out Romo wrote all the fortune cookies. But Romo's hardly the worst thing about the NFL right now. They have controversies all around after championship weekend. Now, by all accounts, the Saints were screwed by a terrible missed pass interference call. Seriously, I'm not saying that that hit was early. But
how early was it?
The pass was thrown by Bobby Hebert.
Oh, man.
Okay? That's how long ago that hit was. Seriously, the ref situation was such a debacle and a train wreck that Netflix and Hulu are doing documentaries on them.
Dueling documentaries.
I mean, really, the last time a Saint dealt with a big pile of crap like that was a Bernard.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
One too many.
The refs are... I should stop. The refs are a problem, though. I mean, the refs are a problem in all sports. In fact, the only correct call in sports this week was Curt Schilling not getting in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boo.
Yes. Okay, it pains me to say that former pitcher and racist Mr. Potato Head, Curt Schilling, did not get in the Hall of Fame. Now, the one downside of this is that if Schilling did get in, there is a downside. If Schilling did get in, Ty Cobb fans would have finally had someone else to visit in the hall.
Jeez.
It also would have prevented me from getting this email from my uncle titled, forward, 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 the real reason Curt Schilling didn't get into the Hall of Fame. And it's okay, Curt. Your vote total is growing. It's actually increasing every year. And although you lag behind the inductees, much like the stain on your sock, you'll catch up. So I admit I was happy about that story, but one I was not happy about was the Chiefs' new defensive coordinator hire. There were rumors that Andy Reid was going to hire Rex Ryan. Ah, that would have been fantastic. Just think, their motto could be, there is no I in team, and there should be no I in Chiefs.
Jeez.
Is that a mix?
Seriously, well done.
Some teams run the 3-4, which consists of three linemen and four linebackers. Some run the 4-3, which consists of four linemen and three linebackers. They would have run the 1-2, which consisted of entire coaching staff with type 1 or type 2 diabetes. But they didn't hire Rex. They went instead with Steve Spagnuolo. A fine hire, until you realize that Andy Reid only hired Spagnuolo because his name sounded like a pistachio cherry and chocolate ice cream dish. And finally,
how about
James Harden?
How about
what
James Harden?
What an unbelievable run he is on right now, putting up 50 points three times this month, and even crazier is his streak of 263 straight points without anyone assisting on the baskets. Think about that. Harden has now scored 263 straight times without a second person being involved, breaking a record previously held by me in high school.
That was one of my favorites, Jarrett. Well done.
Thank
top
you.
To bottom. One of my favorites.
Jarrett, I
really like the no I in Chiefs, the way you just let that hang there and let people kind of, oh, yeah.
Jarrett, I can guarantee personally that you don't hold that record.
You can guarantee that? Did you really call Curt Schilling a racist Mr. Potato Head?
No, I'm just saying that what it said here. I don't know.
That's what it said.
I don't write all this.
That was his staff. Sports Kebab every Friday here on Bickley and Murata. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at Jarrett GC, JarrettGC. I think I spelled that right. Anyhow, coming up next, it turns out Cliff Kingsbury's exit did have an impact on USC, and it wasn't a good one. We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I don't care anymore.
I don't care anymore. You know, it's like 2000, 3000, 4000, it's almost the same thing. And, you know, now I'm just in a point in my career where, you know, I just want to be a winner. You know, I've done the individual accolades countless numbers of times. So, you know, for me now is figuring out how to win. And we're not doing that right now. So, you know, until we start winning, you know, that's when all those things will matter to me.
Well, Phil Collins, I don't care anymore, in honor of that quote from Devin Booker last night. Not that he doesn't care about getting better. He cares more about winning than personal accolades. He got some heat from a few, for the use of the I don't care anymore thing. But he's a frustrated player right now. And that is the basis of our song of the day today here on Bickley and Murata. Interesting enough, Jarrett did put this out on Twitter earlier on. How much do you blame Devin Booker for the team's struggles this season? And the answers were all over the place.
Yeah.
Ernie, not his fault. Team is weak. Here's one from Dawn. Team is a work in progress. Not his fault. He's not a point guard. He doesn't make anyone better. That is on the management, not him. But then there was another one from Tim. He is not good. $150 million down the drain. which is a pretty extreme on the other side of it.
Oh, but absolutely.
That just shows you that there are people out there that are pinning this on Devin Booker.
I don't get that. And again, I think it's real nuanced. You know my thoughts on it. There are things about D-Book's game this year that I'd like to see cleaned up. I'd like to see him get better at, but turning on him completely is not a cool thing.
He's not great at taking care of the basketball. That was really on display last night. When he was trying to pass, and instead of making the safe, sound pass, there's a lot of, I'm going for this highlight pass,
I know.
And it usually doesn't work out very well.
Yep.
So that is something to improve on.
And there's a lot of passing the ball when he's tired of scoring, and it's not passing the ball in the flow of an offense. And again, this is just all real nuanced shades in the rainbow kind of stuff for me.
Yeah.
To me, I look at Devin Booker and I go, this guy, look, he made sure his teammates came out of the locker room during Al McCoy's Ring of Honor celebration. That's a guy who cares about this team.
Yeah, he does.
So don't forget about that.
He does. We had asked when Cliff Kingsbury left USC to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals after 35 days as their offensive coordinator. I remember having the discussion with you and pondering how much of an impact would that have on USC. How many, in that short period of time to actually lure recruits, how many bought into what he was selling?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all this time later, we get some news on that. Brew McCoy, wide receiver, was ranked by some recruiting services as one of the top 10 players in the country. He is leaving USC after committing and signing his letter of intent, and he's leaving because Cliff Kingsbury left. He said at the time, McCoy did, first off, he's a really cool guy, very relatable, and I'm comfortable with who he is as a person. So we immediately clicked, and we spent time going over the offense and how they would use me. If you're a receiver, you can't find a better fit. He showed me film of Texas Tech, and it's a great offense. So now, this opens up another can of worms, because not only does it have an effect on USC, and all the teams in the Pac-12 may be benefiting from this as well, but I forgot. I just lost my train of thought. it's the end of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, but he actually has to sit out a year before he goes anywhere else, even though they haven't had an official team function as a recruiting class.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. The recruiting rule in college sports, or excuse me, the transfer rule, might be one of the worst rules on the books anywhere.
Okay.
You agree?
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. Absolutely. It's just, it's hypocritical. There's very few things more hypocritical in college sports than the suppressing players and letting coaches be free agents. So, there you go.
More blank than you could shake a stick out of.
Okay.
Shake a stick at.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like anybody knows where that came from.
Really?
There's lots and lots of articles about it, but the etymology is unknown. They can't find the origin of it.
Hmm.
They found it in things as recent as the 1800s, but they feel it was already a saying back then, so they don't know what the etymology is.
Wow. I'm shocked by that.
Interesting. You know how we talked about Larry Naaman yesterday, Vinny? The guy who showed up, the guy who shot Mary Rose Wilcox? Okay. Or during the festivities yesterday, or on Thursday, actually it was on Thursday, he was issued a formal trespass notice that bars him from multiple city facilities.
Well, at least something came out of it.
At least something, yeah, right.
He won't menace the city council again.
I'm still just blown away by a guy who could serve 12 years in jail on attempted murder, which he claims he wasn't doing, but it would have been okay with it had that been the outcome. How a guy like that even shows up at a meeting and doesn't even care that he did it? Don't you think a guy like that would go, man, I was stupid 12 years ago?
You think he wouldn't be allowed at least near Mary Rose Wilcox again?
Yes. You think there'd be like some eternal injunction against the guy? I don't know.
Did you hear about the 10-year-old kid who won a science fair by claiming Tom Brady is a cheater?
I did. I love this story.
Ace Davis from Lexington, Kentucky, shaped his science fair project around Tom Brady, and he's a cheater, and he ended up winning the science fair. He concluded, the Patriots were found guilty of doctoring footballs, thus losing $1 million in future draft picks. Tom Brady is indeed a cheater. He didn't dive into the science of it. He's just making a bold claim. Then they asked the kid,
He did an interview with NFLDraftDiamonds.com. If you could share a message with Tom Brady, what would you say to him? Ace Davis says, give me some of your money. You don't deserve it. I knew there was a financial
hook to that somewhere.
Somewhere. Yep. Thanks to our guests today, Greg Bedard, Gary Darling, John Bloom. Thanks to you for listening. We are out. Have a great and safe weekend. Burns and Gambo up next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Enjoy this, won't you? Pickley and Murata, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM. You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Sorry. If I have a day off, I try to treat it as such.
Yeah.
You know?
And let's face it, 50% of the time when he's here, he's not listening to the show. So. That's,
you know, get a call or whatever that is, that's a difference maker. And
for the football team, for their off season, for Cliff Kingsbury, all that stuff.
With Larry Fitzgerald in the fold. Tay off your peas, please.
You annoying jerks.
Are you not a Wilmer Flores fan?
He's one of my favorite Wilmers. Wilmer Flintstone.
Monster.
Cookie Monster.
Frankenstein's Monster.
Hormone Monster.
Hormone Monster. Hey.
Basketball Territorial Cop. Head to the events page at ArizonaSports.com for complete details.
I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury knows what a tight end is.
Okay. Have you seen him walking away?
We've never seen butts before.
He's done, like, cool stuff.
He, like, fights for people.
Thervix.
Andy Reid at a barbecue, just wings in a big gag, babe.
Oh, I tell you.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Okay, fine. You're my dude. No, you're my best friend.
Say what?
Why is he the feist? I have no idea.
You are not a smart man.
Hello, friends.
You're the man, Steve.
I'm the monster.
This house is clean.
A giant laser.
A laser.
You have bad hair.
What did you say?
What's wrong with the soup?
Here's the spoon.
What if we just fed mayonnase to the tuna fish?
Grandpa, tell me about when the Suns were in the playoffs.
Well, let me tell you about that. It was 27 years ago.
She said, Dad, I have to go visit Tucson. I said, no, you don't.
You just grabbed her face and you shoved it into your armpit. And you're like, there, what do you think?
There's certain angles and lighting that can make me look presentable.
I said, man, you are pathetic. Pathetic? You're a joke. You're a loser.
Jared, you've said a lot of dumb things on the air, as have you, Bick. That's the dumbest thing both of you have ever said. Hey, you're not yawning. We're making progress.
Yeah, no, you're making progress because you're not boring me.